Good morning, and welcome to our See How Comes of Age workshop. My name is Marion, and I'm a compulsive eater, and your co-leader for this meeting. Suzanne?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hi, Marion. Good morning, everybody. My name is Suzanne. I'm a grateful compulsive eater. I'm the co-leader for this workshop. Welcome, everybody.
This workshop is going to proceed in three phases. The first part, we'll spend about 20 minutes or so reading, reflecting, and sharing on the concept of unity. Then we'll explore what makes See How unique among 12-step programs and what unity means for See How as a whole, especially for our meetings. Finally, we're asking for your help. We can only recover together. Please share your thoughts, ideas, experience, strength, and hope about how we can work together to keep See How vibrant. And Shannon is graciously loaning us her computer, and we're going to take notes. This is a hybrid meeting, so it's a little bit of an experiment. Thank you all for your patience. There's people attending here on the telephone with us, as well as in the room. For everybody who is speaking in the room, we are going to hold a phone up next to the microphone on the floor, much like I have next to me, so that people on the phone bridge can hear clearly. We're going to reserve at least 2 shares at the end of each section of this workshop for folks on the phone bridge. For folks on the phone bridge, we're going to keep the line muted until then to keep the meeting quiet and to help the meeting flow smoothly here in the room. And I'll unmute the phone and make an announcement at the end of each portion. Let's begin with a serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. So our first reading is the short version of Tradition 1, just from the very last bit of the 12 and 12 on page 189. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon See How unity. And reading from page 189 in the 12 traditions, the long form, it says, and I'll just say AA because I'm reading from the AA 12 and 12. Our AA experience has taught us that, one, each member of Alcoholics Anonymous is but a small part of a great whole. AA must continue to live, or most of us will surely die. Hence, our common welfare comes first. But individual welfare follows close afterward. And I have two read. We have. Okay. Okay. How's that? Better? Probably because I wasn't pointed right at it. Okay, this reading is from page 9 of As Bill Sees It. The title of it is Group and Worldwide Unity. And I just want to pose a question for reflection before we read this. And the question is, what does See How need to keep a strong heartbeat? So page 9, Group and Worldwide Unity. The moment 12-step work forms a group, a discovery is made that most individuals cannot recover unless there is a group. Realization dawns on each member that he is but a small part of a great whole, that no personal sacrifice is too great for preservation of the fellowship. He learns that the clamor of desires and ambitions within him must be silenced whenever these could damage the group. It becomes plain that the group must survive or the individual will not. This is from the 12 and 12, page 130, and the second part. The lone member at sea, the AA at war in a far land, all these members know that they belong to AA's worldwide community, that theirs is only a physical separation, that their fellows may be as near as the next port of call. Ever so importantly, they are certain that God's grace is just as open with just as much with them on the high seas or the lonely outpost as it is with them at home. And so would anyone like to share on what has been read or upon the question, what does Seahow need to keep a strong heartbeat? If you do want to share, you can come up to the microphone and sign our waiver and speak. If not, I'll go on to the next reading. Okay, and the next reading is also from As Bill Sees It. It's page 125. Would anyone like to read this? Thank you, Pamela. It's called Look Beyond the Horizon.
Good morning. My name is Pamela. Page 125, As Bill Sees It, Look Beyond the Horizon. My workshop stands on a hill back of our home. Looking over the valley, I see the village community house where our local group meets. Beyond the circle of my horizon lies the whole world of AA. That's from AA Today, page 7. And then it says, the unity of AA is the most cherished quality our society has. Our lives, the lives of all to come, depend squarely upon it. Without unity, the heart of AA would cease to beat. Our world arteries would no longer carry the life-giving grace of God. That's from the 12 and 12, page 129.
Thank you. Would you like to share on that?
Yes. Okay. Pamela, compulsive eater, and this reading from the 12 and 12 is near and dear to my heart. The unity of AA is the most cherished quality our society has. Our lives, the lives of all to come, depend squarely on it. And I believe that so strongly. There's a reason this is the first tradition. Unity is the first tradition, and everything flows from that unity. When I did the 12 tradition study guide questions that our fellowship has, which are just an amazing set of questions, the conclusion I came to, there are about 15 questions for each tradition. And the conclusion I came to as I was working through these questions, the last question for each tradition is, how does this apply to Seahow? And the conclusion I came to is that every single tradition is about unity and singleness of purpose. Every single tradition. They all explain in more detail how the traditions are about unity and singleness of purpose. So without unity, we wouldn't have a fellowship. The amazing thing, I always say it's astonishing how the people I've met in these rooms that I would never meet, we all come from different paths of life, different places, and yet we all are here for the same reason. We're here in unity, and I depend upon you. You know, I depend upon you. I think we depend upon each other to be here and to be understanding, and that's part of the unity, is to be understanding of each other, of our differences, and to appreciate our commonalities. So I really love this reading, and unity is indeed, you know, just critical to our fellowship, and certainly to my recovery.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to share on what's been read? Okay, we have one more reading from As Bill Sees It. It's on page 229. It's called Day of Homecoming. Is there someone who would like to read that for us?
I'm David. I'm a compulsive eater. Page 229, Day of Homecoming. As sobriety means long life and happiness for the individual, so does unity mean exactly the same thing to our society as a whole. Unified we live, disunited we shall perish. That's from a letter written in 1949. The second part, we must think deeply of all those sick ones still to come to AA as they try to make their return to faith and to life. We want them to find everything in AA that we have found, and yet more, if that be possible. No care, no vigilance, no effort to preserve AA's constant effectiveness and spiritual strength will ever be too great to hold us in full readiness for the day of their homecoming. And that's from a talk from 1959.
Thank you. Would you like to share on that?
Sure. And I'll sign when I'm done. David, compulsive eater.
Hi, David.
I am so grateful to those who maintain this program in unity so that when I came here, there was a program that I could fall right into, that I could see that there was no complication of message. It was clear, and that this fellowship had an answer for my problem. I felt that almost from the beginning, when I finally became willing to try a different way, and it was uncomplicated. There were disagreements, you know, there were personalities in the room, but I was oblivious to that as a newcomer. And I think it's so valuable that we are able to present to the newcomer that we have a solution that works for all of us who are different, have different perspectives, but we are all here for one thing, and that is to recover from compulsive eating, however that may manifest. And whether that be in a live meeting or over the phone or just on the website, you know, however that message is conveyed, to have it conveyed with unity and singleness of purpose is the most important thing I can possibly work towards. I'd like to say I do that all the time, but I try to do that as much as I can possibly think of it. And so I hope we are able to continue to do that in whatever format makes sense for us going forward. I mean, I can't predict the future about what meetings will look like or how they will function, but I hope and I pray that the same message will be delivered, the message of hope, that we have an answer for this terrible problem, and we have recovery, and that new people can hear it just as I have. Thanks.
Thank you, David. Sorry, thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to share? If anyone on the phone would like to share, please press *6 and let me know. And if you'd like to share on anything that's been read, there's also a question if you wish to ponder, considering the readings. How can I help ensure that See How remains effective and strong so others can make their return to faith and life? Anyone like to share on that? In the room or on the phone? Terry, welcome.
It's so important, and respect for all of the other members that are in this program should be at the very top of that list. That each person is entitled to their own opinion, and that each person is unique and special the way God made them, and that if we disagree with them, one thing we need to lean on always is the power of positive thinking, because they say that negative thinking is a large part of our disease. And negative thinking and talking can destroy the unity in the meeting and in the program overall. So I just wanted to share that if you keep God at the center, thank Him always for whatever is going on, and the fact that we're all learning, we all have baggage, and we all need love and support, that we can only achieve that through this program, which centers on unity. Thank you for my meeting there.
Thank you, Terry. We have another person here in the room who's going to share, so I'm going to mass mute the line again.
I'm Mayer, and I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Mayer.
And I'm grateful to God, grateful to this program, that I'm here, I'm alive. I have been in and out of the program since 1987. I've had periods of abstinence, and I cannot tell you how grateful I am that somebody keeps keeping the doors open, that somebody is sane enough to not argue or fall apart talking to each other to keep the doors open. Oh God, am I grateful the doors are open. And I've always practiced, and this is not a brag, it's just something I know, that business can't operate without money and without participation and people in the room. So when they say, give that extra dollar, I know what the extra dollar means. And so I understand that. And I have some abstinence right now on July 8th. What's it, about 2 weeks roughly? And I have been competitive with this program in a way that I didn't intentionally do. It just happened that, oh, that person's got that, and, you know, they've been abstinent that long, and that worried me. You know, every time I come in the room, if I've had if I've been eating, I felt, why can't I do it, you know? And it's still in the back of my mind. And then there's another part of me that's the ego, I guess, that says, I really don't care, you know? And it's not me. I know it's not me. I just know I have to keep praying to my higher power and to continue to be grateful and to bless all of my concerns and appreciate what's in front of me and the best of my ability follow the tools. Because I can be driving my car to my house to have my dinner, and my car will go another direction, and then that obsession kicks in for that thing that that popped in my mind that I could have, and that's it. Phone calls, tools, and I know the tools, but knowing, knowledge, higher power is everything. And I just want to say, in wrapping it up, that I am so appreciative of this program. And I'm not beating up on myself today. I'm loving myself by being here, and by another part of me is here to support the ongoing success of this convention, because I had heard that if we don't keep coming, they won't keep having it. So I said, I'm buying a ticket this year, and I did. And so I am awake in some ways, but asleep in others. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have time for one or two more shares. And thank you, Shannon. Come on. And then after these two shares, we'll move to the next portion of the workshop.
Okay. Hi, I'm Shannon from Redondo Beach, California, compulsive eater. Thank you so much for holding this wonderful workshop. Do you mind repeating the question?
Yes. I mean, no, I don't mind.
We know what you meant.
Yes. How can I help ensure that CHOW remains effective and strong so others can make their return to faith and life?
Oh, thank you. Great question. You know, I wanted to come up and share because this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart, you know, this concept of unity. And, you know, for me as a longtime CHOW member, I am very aware of the importance of carrying the CHOW message. You know, many of us come into these rooms, myself included, are members of other 12-step programs, and I make sure that when I am showing up in a CHOW meeting as a CHOW sponsor, as a CHOW member, I am carrying the CHOW message. So I do the program as it's written, not just for me, but I know that I am an example, and I am teaching my sponsees, and they are going to teach their sponsees, and they're going to teach their sponsees. So when I was a newer sponsor back in the day, I would interject a lot of my opinions and have them do things that were not, you know, part of our literature. And then I realized now, as I've gotten more mature emotionally and spiritually, that I was diluting the program, which was going to have a snowball effect. And so I don't do that anymore. So when I am carrying the message and representing CHOW, I'm very clear on what our literature says. I pass on the program, you know, as it's intended to be worked. I don't make changes to the food plan that are not in writing. I do things as they are because I realize that I have a responsibility to ensure the lineage and the longevity of CHOW and that it's the program as it's written. And if we do make changes, we do it as a group at our conference that we have every year. I'm very aware of that responsibility. Another thing that I do is I am a really, really, really big believer of supporting CHOW financially. I do attend PhoneBridge meetings. I love the PhoneBridge. It's a wonderful community. And I know that when I am attending a PhoneBridge meeting that I am not in a physical meeting where a basket is being passed in front of me to where I would look at that basket, I would reach into my wallet, and I would put money in. But just because I am on the phone doesn't mean that I'm not responsible for contributing. So I have automatic payments every month, and I calculate how much I would be putting into the basket if it was physically being passed, and I have that deducted every month. I don't have to think about it, and I pass it on to my sponsees. That is very, very important. People that work with me contribute to CHOW, and I know that people that work with them contribute to CHOW, and on it goes. It is not okay to not contribute financially to the health of this organization, not for myself and not for people I work with. I had a sponsor a long time ago say, there are no free rides in God's universe, and I know that, like, if I'm on the phone and I'm not contributing, I'm getting a free ride, and that is not okay. So, again, thank you so much for this wonderful topic. I love CHOW. So I had a sponsee ask me, are you going to be, like, weighing and measuring your food when you're, like, 60? And I said, well, I hope so. I hope that they, pry that measuring cup out of my cold, dead hand. I love this program, and I will do everything I can to ensure its health and longevity, not just for me, but for the people that come behind me and the people that come behind them, because compulsive eating is not going away. So I want to make sure that we are a solution in the present and in the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Shannon. We have one more speaker, one person who would like to share.
I'm Arliss, compulsive eater, and wow. This is something that I try to pass on to my sponsees and the people I'm around is so that this program will be here for everybody when they need it. It was here for me, thank God. I have a life now. I had a life, I just didn't live it. And now I get to live it, and I'm aware of it. And it's because of you guys. It's because of the 12-step program. It's because of the people that were here before me and the ones that keep coming back. And I came into OA in 73, and the gray sheet then and the program and God saved my life. And as things started to change, I followed that food plan, my lifesaver. I became unpopular with some people, and that's really hard on a people pleaser like me. But that saved my life. This saves my life. It keeps saving my life. You save my life. And so I do everything I can to keep the meetings in our area going. And I work my program. Hopefully, as it is written, I think we all interpret it a little different. So, but I look at it, and I think we are so blessed that we have such a structured program. This is the easiest 12-step program, I think, to sponsor because it tells us what to do every day. And it's so I love it because it's easy to be a sponsor. And somebody asked me today, they said, are you a sponsor? And I said, yes. And she was from another area, I don't know, but she said, do you make your sponsees right? I says, no, I don't make my sponsees right, but that's what the program says, and I don't change the program. You know, and that's, you know, I don't do it. This is what and I just have them look up and say, you know, and I have them make the commitment. I have them read the tools first. And then I say, you read the tools, and then I want to hear your commitment, because I said, it's your commitment, it's your program, it's not mine. But I'm here to support you in finding a life, you know, and keeping it, and finding recovery. And I think that's what keeps this program strong, you know. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. We are going to move into the next portion of the workshop now. The See How concept and the seven tools express what makes See How unique as a 12-step fellowship. We also have our Forever Abstinent Food Plan, the sponsor guidelines, and all our literature and questions to complement them and provide support for daily living. It is my pleasure to introduce my co-leader, Suzanne, who will share about why we chose See How Comes of Age as the title for this workshop and how it relates to unity.
Okay, can everybody hear me? Okay, thank you. I'm Suzanne, I'm a grateful compulsive eater. And thank you everybody for being here. And Marion and I were on this wonderful committee called the Unity Committee. And we were tossing around names, and we came up with Tools Plus or Extra Tools or something like that. And I'm a beloved member right now is reading the whole book from cover to cover at AA Comes of Age to me. And I had to read it for the tradition questions, but I wanted to hear it from cover to cover without going, you know, from here to there and back and forth. So it just appeared, you know, it came to me, let me put it that way, that See How is here for 18 years. We're celebrating 18 years, you know, this year. And AA Comes of Age was for 20 years? Yeah. And so I thought it's appropriate that we've been around a while and things have been going and flowing, and right now we're kind of in a crossroads because the numbers are down somewhat. And there's social media now, and there are cell phones and Skype meetings, and it's kind of, we're in a change period right now. So I suggested the idea, and that's, we discussed it, and we all liked it, so that's why it's that. We are now in a different crossroads in recovery on this program. We have to start thinking outside the box somewhat. If meetings are small, we kind of have to, and one of my sponsees said there's two of us and neither one of us are abstinent. Here's a suggestion that I would have. You know, the phone bridge is there. That's where the phone bridge, they could plug into the phone bridge and they can hear many, many, many voices of recovery. They don't have to feel that they're alone, struggling, that there are other people who do have recovery. But what I wanted to suggest lovingly is the newcomer is the most important person in the meeting. I would like to suggest the persons returning to program or people who are in relapse also be the most important people in the meeting. Because a lot of times we can be judgmental. I'll speak for myself because I'm very judgmental and critical of myself, extremely so. And so if I'm not doing well, I beat myself up, right? Well, when I was into my addiction, because I was very, very judgmental and critical of myself, I could be judgmental and critical about you too. So I'm just thinking that when a person is hurting, when they come into the rooms as a newcomer, you know, we swarm them, we love them, we give them a hug and don't leave without a sponsor. How about doing that to someone who's returning the same way as if they'd never walked into a 12-step room before? And also the person in relapse. You know, sometimes we have to say, you know, this is the way it is, you know, we need to do it. But how about a loving approach? So that was my, you know, an idea I wanted to throw out there. But we really do need to find our way. Things are changing. I know that for a while we tried Skype meetings in English, and right now we don't have any that I'm aware of. But we have four in Spanish that are flourishing. One person started them, and that one person was doing all the service. Now she stepped back, and they'll have leaders, they'll have intergroup reps, people, and most of the people on those meetings are abstinent and are sponsoring and have sponsees. But they could not do it by themselves. And it took this one person to say, I would like to do this. And yeah, it was a lot of work. And you know, we do need to step up. Not everybody can be a delegate. Not everybody's fit to be the area chair. But how about I'll start a meeting? How about I'll be the intergroup rep? Many meetings do not have intergroup reps. And sadly, a lot of people didn't even know about this convention because they go to meetings where there are no intergroup reps. I've got a few phone calls last year asking me, when's the convention? And I said, we had it. Well, how come I didn't know about it? Well, what meetings are you going to? We don't have intergroup representation. So, and then the opinion of is, well, I'll let someone else do it. Sometimes we do have to let someone else do it. I have a lot of service commitments, and I'm going to have to let go of a couple. It's very apparent. However, but having said that, you know, sometimes someone has to do it, and that someone is you. When I first started being of service, I was terrified because I don't want to make mistakes. I don't feel that I'm prepared. I don't feel that I have the tools to do it. But someone very lovingly said to me, darling, you're our intergroup rep, and I've been taught when you're asked to be of service, if you can possibly do it, you don't say no. And I couldn't have an excuse. I had to say yes because I was available to do it. And at the beginning, a few people said, I don't know how you're going to do that. I don't know. And the same person said, darling, call this other person. To my surprise, this other person said, we're going to find a way that you can work it out, and you're going to be our intergroup rep. Well, that was a few years ago, and I lead meetings, and I'm here speaking before you today. I don't know how that happened, but I'm here. But my point is, we do need to share. We do need to step up. We do need to be of service. We need to accept that we now have cell phones. So if you're traveling, there's no excuse. You know, I can't do a meeting because I'm out of the country. You know, people have Skype on their smartphones and their phone bridge meetings. We have people all over the world that are waiting to hear from you on a phone list who live abroad and would love to hear another compulsive eater if they're near them. That is one thing. If you are ill, I'm ill, I can't get to a meeting for 3 months. We don't have that excuse any longer. We really don't, because there's a phone bridge meeting, 6 or 7 a day. Pick one. If you are traveling to another city and there are no meetings, being of service is getting a phone list from the phone bridge and saying, oh, there's someone here. Why don't I call them before I go visit the city and see if I can get together for a cup of coffee with this person, and we'll have a mini meeting. It won't be an official meeting, but I can be of service to that person, and you're being of service to yourself. We really do need to stress, spread the word, and by being of service to another compulsive eater. So all of this, we're still trying to figure out. We would like to have workshops on the intergroup level to kind of put together ideas and see what works. Small meetings that don't have abstinence or very little, we're suggesting that you get on the phone bridge because there is recovery there. There are a lot of things that we can do, but we do need to hear from you also, because there's just two of us right now. And we need other opinions. We need people to think outside the box. And at the conference, we did get some good ideas about a few things, and we're going to incorporate those. And next year, we hope to have a workshop on the intergroup level and strengthen the intergroups. We heard something at the conference that we'd be thinking about this, that intergroups actually go visit meetings and suggest, do you have an intergroup rep? Here's a wonderful service. You know, that's something we could use, we could do. And it doesn't take that much. I have to put into my program what was given to me. And I got to keep putting back, because one day, if I don't keep putting back what was given to me, it will be gone. It will be gone for me, and it will be gone for the newcomer, and it will be gone for the next generation. And we've come so far for that to happen. It's not going to happen, because there are new people and there are young people. Someone came here today to the convention, a young person, just to lead a meeting. Her only reason, because I was at my face-to-face meeting, I put it out there. She said, I'd love to do that. She only came here to do that. And if we could, and I thought, wow, what a conviction. And I almost cried.
let's think, how can we be of service? How can we spread the word? And we must never, ever, ever forget why we're here. We're all compulsive eaters. We have different components. But I'm a compulsive eater helping another compulsive eater, and we must never forget that. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Suzanne. We thought of so many questions that we would love to hear your experience, strength, and hope on, that we realized we could be here till 2 p.m. Pacific. So we decided to give it up to God, and we've put the questions into this lovely purple bag. By the way, I was given this last November when I went to India. There is a Seehow person in India, and we Skyped while I was there. We weren't in the same city, but boy, did she help me, because I was nervous going to India. It's not like, you know, there's no Costco. Anyway, so this reminds me of her. So I want to just put a plug in for when you travel, reach out to Seehow folks. If someone would take this bag, and if anyone wants to draw a question and share on it, yeah, we can pass it around, and we just need to have someone come up to the microphone and read the question. A couple of them also include a bit of writing, so we don't know if those will get drawn. We'll see what God has in mind for us.
One at a time?
Yeah, just one at a time. Irish, would you like to come to the microphone and read that?
Good morning. I'm Irish, compulsive eater. The question says, the tool of meetings includes the 30-day abstinence requirement for sharing, 7 days if your pitching has been discussed with your sponsor. How does this support individual and group recovery? Well, I know for myself personally that I need that clarity of thought. And if I'm into the food, I have no clarity of thought at all. So I need that clear perspective that comes through abstinence. So if I do not have that 7 days, if my pitching has been discussed with my sponsor, or that 30 days, I am best off listening and trying to gain experience, strength, and hope from the others who are sharing. That's my time to listen and to learn. And when I get that clarity, then I am able to do sharing in a positive manner. So I'm very thankful to be at this meeting. It's very powerful for me. I live in an isolated area. I get to a face-to-face meeting about once a month. It's 2 hours one way from me. And then I get to large things like this. And through this, I'm able to connect with people that I've met on the bridge. And you do not know what that does for me. So thank you for this time of unity to connect both face-to-face here in Los Angeles at the Global Convention with the foam bridge, which is so near and dear to my heart. Thank you.
Thank you, Irish. Would anyone else like to share on that question, or if you've drawn a question from the bag, if you would like to come up and read it and share about it, that'd be great.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jack, and I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Jack.
The question is, what can I do to support unity in the meetings I attend? I think there's a deeper question in that, and the deeper question in that is, what can I do to support unity in life, in every aspect of my life, not just CEA How? But, you know, I'm a firm believer that, you know, my concept of higher power is the unity of the universe at its grandest scale from a 50,000-foot view. So, you know, they're like my belief and my orientation aside from program is, at our core, we are all a part of divinity. And that divinity is the unity of the universe. So what can I do to support that? I mean, this is pretty, you know, it's pretty far out stuff, I guess, for but, you know, it begins with what I'm doing today and what I'm doing in my life, and what I'm doing today and in my life is I'm a part of this program. I'm going to meetings, and I'm participating in meetings, and I'm participating in service, and I'm participating in recovery and all of those things. And I think that at that level, you know, what I can do is share the unified vision of the program, which is fundamentally found in the seven tools of the program. And in all the readings, all the things that we read every single meeting that we go to in the CEA How concept. So what can I do to live unity in meetings? I can live to the best of my ability to concepts that are exemplified in the CEA How concept. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Jack. Is there anyone else who would like to share on that question, or someone on the phone bridge? You'll just have to press *6 to unmute. I'm pretty sure I set that up right. Yes, David.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to the CEHOW Convention, both online and here in the room. The question that I've been given through this beautiful bag from India is, in the tool of abstinence, it is stated that any recommendations your physician or healthcare professional makes will be accepted. How does this support unity? I'm going to have to ask my higher power how I'm going to answer that one. One of the things that it says in our program is that anyone can sponsor someone that's on a medical abstinence. You know, but it's scary. It's scary for me because it's not so cut and dried as our forever abstinent. So I have to keep asking questions. So I have one sponsee that's on a medical abstinence. And by the way, last year is when we added this healthcare professional at the conference. We added this, whatever the healthcare professional makes will be accepted. So I have to keep asking questions of him, you know, and the questions I ask are pretty much what I ask my other sponsees, you know. Are you making, who did you call in outreach? Not did you make outreach calls, but who did you call in outreach yesterday? And how many meetings did you get to this week? Which meetings did you go to? You know, I get very specific about those things, even with the sponsees that I've had for quite a while. Because I know this disease can be very slippery. And people, all of a sudden you realize, why did that person slip? Well, the slip always began a long time ago. It didn't begin with the food. It began with the thinking, because our disease, like a lot of the other diseases, are up here in our head, you know. So I ask him, you know. Then I ask him about his food, you know. And I also have my sponsees all write a gratitude, you know, three gratitudes every day. And that helps me as well as it helps them. But one of the things about that's so remarkable about this fellow that's on abstinence now is that he came to the program not so much because he was a compulsive eater, but because he was having all kinds of problems with arthritis, with sleeping, with indigestion, all different physical problems, you know. And he's working this program as it's written, to the best of my ability to monitor his working the program, all these things are clearing up. He's able to sleep through the night. He's able, his arthritis doesn't bother him so much. He doesn't have these problems with his stomach. For the first time in his life, he's been able to carry on a relationship with this woman. You know, he's got a girlfriend now. You know, and he's still he feels different. You know, and in a sense, maybe he is a little different because, you know, he's on the medical abstinence, but it's working for him. And one of the things he's very resistant to doing, and he's not here in the room, so it's an anonymous thing, but he doesn't like to write. He's got a reason why he doesn't write. You know, I write every single day, and I say I write every day, and I expect you to write every day. And the reason is because it's not so much that it has to do, you know, so much with the weighing and the measuring and the food, but it has to do with that uncovering and discovering and discarding those things that are making us eat and overindulge. You know, it's not just the sugar, it's not just the flour, it's also the excess food. So, you know, how do we stop when we've reached that point when we've reached our weighed portion? So anyway, how does this support unity? Well, because as someone else has said, and other people have been saying throughout this convention, you know, we're trying to do this the same way. We're trying to present a unified front. We're trying to help people find their way in this program. So if we stick together, we're going to stay abstinent together. So anyway, that's about all I've got on that one. Thanks for letting me share it.
Thank you, David. Would anyone else like to share on this question? Suzanne?
Okay, everybody, it's Suzanne again, and I would like to address this because this is a good question for unity. Not only medical abstinence, and I am on medical abstinence, and most of my sponsees are. I don't make that a requirement, it just happened that way. They found me. Also, the other aspect that I would like to bring up about this is when we sponsor someone on medical abstinence or a chronic illness or disability, this is where we have to have love and compassion. I've gotten a few phone calls from people directed by their sponsors. So, you know, I have an issue, I have an emotional disorder, whatever it is. I cannot sometimes write the multifaceted questions. It has like four parts. I cannot do it. And it's very apparent that they can't for whatever reason, which it doesn't matter. And their sponsor is saying, I'm going to fire you if you cannot answer each question on a daily basis. Well, what about if it's in five parts? Nope, you have to answer the whole thing. But call Suzanne. maybe she can straighten you out. And I said, ask your sponsor if I, you know, because it does say we have to write every day. So I asked the person, are you writing every day? Yes, but it can't always, she has someone read the question to her four or five times and before she can get the concept. And so for her to write five parts to one question can be very, very overwhelming. And I think this is where we need to kind of step back and take that pause. I like to say that I measure not only what goes in my mouth, but what comes out of it. And for me, because my head gets way ahead of my mouth, or my mouth keeps trying to get ahead of my mind, something like that, I sometimes have to take that pause. I think this is where we need to take that pause and thinking, okay, this is what I did. You know, I answered every single question, but maybe for this person, I've got to take a little different approach. For me personally, it took me 90 days to do 30 questions. And at first I thought the type of sponsor I had was a very no-nonsense person. And I thought, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? But you know what? She was very loving and compassionate. She worked with me. I worked my program every day, but for many reasons, that's what it took. But I stood up as a food sponsor 90 days. It took me a few years to get all my step questions done, but I did them. I did them. And the step questions took me a lot longer, but I was doing writing every day other things. I do writing every day. I have a journal where I scribble. So my point is, if we don't know how to do medical abstinence with someone, there are tons of people you can call. And like this one person said, call Suzanne. I don't know what to do with you. Well, there are other people who have medical abstinence. If you are afraid, and I think a lot of times we're afraid of what we don't know. I don't know how to do that. I don't want to do it. When I first came into the program, I'm being very, very honest. I was not on medical abstinence. I probably should have been. But in the face-to-face meeting I went to, medical abstinence was a dirty word. You didn't admit to it, and you didn't tell anybody because it was not the same. It was not the same. And the other thing is, you know, if you're on a medical abstinence by your doctor or your healthcare provider, you're abstinent. It doesn't matter. So let's try to remember that. And like I said, if you don't know how to do it, if you don't understand it, talk to the person or talk to other medical abstinent sponsors that can say, here's how I did it, here's how to do it, here's my experience, strength, and hope. And also sponsoring someone with a chronic illness. Let's try to be compassionate. One of my very dear friends said to me, it is the spirit of the seven tools. We're not whipping someone into submission. We do them, and we don't need them, we don't want them. At some point, we just do them because that's what we must do. So let's just remember to be a little compassionate and patient. I love that. This program taught me a lot of patience. So let's just be patient and loving. And but if someone is not a medical abstinent, they're working their program, they're abstinent. They shouldn't be, you know, considered a second-class citizen, or if someone's chronically ill, they're still working their program. And it gets back to unity. Why are we here? We are all compulsive eaters. Some of us can do the program at a faster pace than others, and others are a little slower, but that's okay. We're all here for the same reason. Thank you, everybody.
All right, David, would you like to share? Is that okay? No worries. Are there any burning desires to share on any of the questions that have come up in the God bag? Anyone on the phone bridge? Let me just double check that I've correctly set this up. I had it set up. All right. If you would like to share, please just press star 6 and let us know. So for the last part of the meeting. Sure, I'm unmuted. We are going to sort of have like a forum, just general ideas. We'd love to hear your experience, strength, and hope on how we can keep meetings vibrant, perhaps utilize the film bridge and face-to-face together to foster unity, to strengthen personal recovery, to strengthen meetings. And this unity committee is also very, very near and dear to me. I live in New York City. When I first arrived in New York City, there were no See How meetings. I was there for the first See How meeting. I got to witness them growing and help do service by participating in the formation of our first intergroup, and then area. And then we were sending folks to the World Service Business Conference. So I had the privilege of being a delegate. And then I've also had the sort of heartbreak to witness a strong decline in attendance at meetings, and meetings closing. And I'm telling you, this breaks my heart. I also participate in phone bridge meetings. I do both. And when I travel, I reach out to folks that I've met on the phone bridge and gotten to meet folks face to face, which is amazing. And coming here is amazing. I want all the meetings to thrive. I need all the meetings to thrive if I'm going to thrive. And so that sort of like the impetus for forming the Unity Committee last year, because I know I can't do it by myself. We can't do it. We need all of us together. And so we just want to ask for everyone any ideas for how to strengthen meetings, how to utilize, like we're doing today with a phone bridge and a face-to-face meeting together. Any ideas you have? Oh, that would be awesome. And Shannon, God bless her, is going to capture and type in all of the ideas that we generate. So I've got the phone set up so that if you press star 6, you will be unmuted, and we'd love to hear your ideas. And we've got about 15 minutes. What time do we have to wrap at 11:25? Okay. So we've got about 15 minutes. And again, you're also just welcome to share on any of the concepts and ideas that have come up over the course of the workshop. So we are now open for all any experience, strength, hope sharing about unity and strengthening our fellowship.
I don't know. This is probably a no-no, but I'm going to... my suggestion is probably a no-no, but I think people do it, but it's not part of our program. It's when you don't see someone for a while, just call and invite them back to the meeting. I don't know how to invite them back without making them think we're the police, you know. So that's a hard one, but I think
if I'm a part of something, somebody hasn't called and hasn't seen me, and then they say, oh, I'm so glad to see you back. Well, I'm thinking, well, nobody ever called. But, you know, that's just a thought.
Thank you. I have a question for further thought. If you're on the Foam Ridge meetings, you don't see who's there unless they're sharing. And then there's a seven-day abstinent requirement for sharing. If you're a Foam Ridge community person, how can you reach out to the folks that you're not hearing on the Foam Ridge to help them feel included and loved and wanted? Any thoughts? If anyone on the Foam Ridge wants to press star 6 to share, that would be great. Okay. We talked about a couple of ideas. I just want to put them out there for thought. One is to schedule special face-to-face gatherings to align with Foam Ridge workshop dates. And these are posted on the website. Either come together as a face-to-face group to listen to the whole workshop and maybe discuss what came up in the workshop, or if you're dialing in on a phone to actually participate on that workshop, or include a Foam Ridge presentation. There's lots of recorded workshops on the website again, not only from Foam Ridge workshops, but all of the convention workshops are on the website. So to come together in a room to listen to a recorded event of any kind and open it for discussion in your room or for fellowship afterward. That's one of the things that we did in New York when we very first started meetings and we were very tiny. We're kind of finding ourselves in that same position again. So we just need to be a little creative about how we can bring in wisdom, strength, hope, and experience from the greater community, even if they're not in the room with us. Yes. Yes, would you come up to the microphone, please? Thank you.
Hi, I'm Arlis Compulsive Eater. They talked about something you could do. I go to face-to-face meetings to make it stronger. And something I've really noticed is something that we used to do a long time ago a lot more of. Maybe I used to do it more because I was younger. A lot of things I used to do more when I was younger. But had a couple of new people, especially one. We started doing fellowship afterwards. After the meetings, making it, you know, a tradition. You know, we go to lunch. Now, that'll get them there. We go to lunch after this meeting. We go to Starbucks after this meeting, you know. And I had a newcomer that was just coming back, or she was a retread, and that's when they get to talk. They can talk, and, you know, and she just talked, and then we shared. And she can't stop talking about, I heard what I needed to hear when we were in Starbucks. So that fellowship after the meeting gives those people a more relaxed time. And they can't, you know, they're not supposed to be talking in meetings anyway, you know, if they don't have the absence. It's been wonderful for me. I got a lot, you know. You get what you give. So go to fellowship, you know. Thanks.
Thank you. I wanted to. Yes, please. Go ahead, Sean.
I'm Sean, a compulsive eater. When I came into CHOW, I had never heard of CHOW. We have O-Readers Anonymous in North Carolina, which is, you know, pretty big. But there was one CHOW meeting in Charlotte, which was 2 hours away, and one in Chapel Hill that you had to call to make sure they were going to have the meeting before you drove there, because it was depending on like one or two people. And I was just appalled that Raleigh, being the capital of North Carolina, did not have one CHOW meeting. So a lady in Northern California that I met on the phone bridge said, I know of a girl in Chapel Hill, which is about 35, 40 minutes from Raleigh, who's in CHOW. Give her a call. And I called her, and she goes, there is someone in Raleigh. And I thought I was like on a life, like a lifeboat by myself. I mean, I really did. I thought there's nobody out here but me. And I called this lady and we met and we were just like sisters, like automatically. And she said, I want you to get your 30 days and we're going to start a meeting. And we got our first meeting, we got our location, wonderful church. They have every 12-step group there. And it was just me and her for a long time, just the two of us. And then a lady in Idaho sent me some See How posters that were like a red stop sign that said stop dieting. And this other member went around every Starbucks and put them on their bulletin board. And I started, and we put those little tear-off sheets that said my name and number. And people would call me, and they would say, I got your name and number off of a thing at Starbucks, and I'm really interested in your program. Could you call me? And so we got so many members from the Starbucks things. And this other member, she's retired. She doesn't have kids like I do. And she's not, her husband, I don't know, she has a lot of time. So her new venture now is dietitians and nutritionists. So she's going to a lot of health facilities and giving them pamphlets. And I've been doing that at the cancer hospital that I attend because I have cancer. But this hospital has, the nutritionists are like, we've never heard of this. This is just amazing. I can't believe this is out here. I work with so many obese patients, and why do we not know about this? And it's free? Do they have to believe in God? I mean, they're asking me all these questions. And so I leave them with the information, and I tell them, you know, if you have any questions at all, call me. And so we're having to market, and we're having to market our program, and that I'm sure OA did the same thing 30 years ago. I don't know how they got the word out. And my other friend, she's just really energetic. She said, I think I'm going to go to OA meetings and let them know that See How is here. And I said, please don't do that. That's got to be breaking some tradition. But we're really excited. We had like five people at one meeting, and we were just like, wow, you know, we're really doing it. So it's really exciting. We feel like Bill W. And we're just like pioneers. And, you know, one day, you know, who knows, we might have like 20 meetings. And, you know, we got it started. So something to do, something to try. Thanks.
Thank you. Who else would like to share? Anyone on the phone bridge, please press star 6 to unmute. I also want to put a plug in for the public information page on the ceahow.org website. There are sample flyers. There are public service announcements, which are free to use on radio stations and I'm guessing online radio stations. But there's pre-made sample materials that you can take if you want to start a meeting. So you don't have to do everything from scratch. We're here to recover together. And there was another. Anyone else like to share? I had another thought, too, on reaching out to folks who are in your communities. If you're by yourself in a city or you think you're by yourself, that there is a wonderful PhoneBridge outreach list. And there's a list of all the PhoneBridge meetings on the See How website. But if you send an email to phonebridgeoutreach@gmail.org, .com, phonebridgeoutreach@gmail.com, you can receive a copy of this phone bridge outreach list. This is folks who would love to receive calls and to give calls. You can get your name put on it by sending an email to that same person and letting them know you're a See How member. The cool thing is this thing is like 10 pages long. You know, we're 18 pages long. That's a lot of people. And it includes their cities and phone numbers and, in some cases, email, so that you can find See How members who live near you.
What's the email again?
phonebridgeoutreach@gmail.com. I use this when I'm traveling. I've sorted it so that I send an email to all the people who are going to be anywhere near where I'm going. I've met folks in different cities in Florida, like I said, the woman in India, Louisiana, and Indianapolis, Las Vegas, Reno, before I was on the way to Burning Man. Talk about nervous, 9 days camping in the desert. Half my suitcase was full of food, I'm telling you. And the other half was sunblock. And it was so wonderful to have a little See How mini meeting on my way out there. Yes, phonebridgeoutreach@gmail.com. Thank you.
And that's for phone
numbers? Phone numbers. It also has some emails if folks give them, and it includes people's cities and states.
Sponsorship.
And sponsorship levels, yes.
Time zones.
And time zones. Mm-hmm. It is a wonderful tool for staying connected with our wider community. And it includes countries, too.
Yeah.
There, yeah, and Skype names in a lot of situations, yeah. Anyone else want to share an idea? Let me keep a time check. Oh, is that a 3 or an 8? It's 3. Okay, we've got a couple of more minutes. These are suggestions other folks have shared with us earlier, and one is that sponsors, encourage your sponsees to go to both face-to-face and phone bridge meetings. If you're only used to going to face-to-face meetings and you become comfortable with phone bridge meetings, then you're ready. The number is programmed in your phone. You know what times they are, or you can check so that when you're traveling or you're sick and you can't get out to a face-to-face meeting, you can still get to a meeting. And if you are used to going to phone bridge meetings, you've heard folks share today about the hugs, the fellowship, the having lunch afterward. At a formal meeting or a mini meeting of folks who live or are traveling and somehow end up in the same place, the face-to-face contact is totally, totally wonderful. And there are lots of resources available for starting a meeting. And as Sean shared, it's doable, it's manageable, you don't have to do it alone. One other idea that we started in New York is having what I call a flash mob meeting, where on Sunday, say, I send out an email saying, hey, tomorrow night, how about if we meet in the Lotus Garden, which is a beautiful little oasis in New York. It's warm out. Let's have a meeting. How about 5 o'clock tomorrow? Because we don't have as many meetings as we used to. But we've had folks come out, okay, I can handle that. One meeting, let's go for a walk in the park afterward. And we are getting creative and continuing to fellowship and stay in touch with one another so that we stay strong. All right, is there anyone on the telephone bridge who would like to share? Just press *6. We would love to hear from you. All right, I'm not hearing anybody. Thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it. We are recording this convention workshop, like all of the convention workshops. So at some point after it's edited, it'll be available on the seehow.org website. There are already recordings of previous conventions there, and as I mentioned earlier, SeeHow workshops. Check out the website. It has lots of resources, and there are, you know, we are in an era of new technology, and it can strengthen our recovery and help us to connect and stay connected with one another. Suzanne,
yep.
Do you have any last words?
Yeah, I have a couple last words here. Thank you. So I want to thank everybody today, but perhaps you're kind of shy and don't want to say anything. If anybody has a good idea, even if you don't think it's a good idea, it might be a good idea, tell us afterwards. And for those on the phone bridge has saved my life, but don't be shy. Don't be afraid to start a face-to-face meeting, because some people really do flourish more in a face-to-face meeting. They need to be seen by their sponsor, because phone bridge can be a place to isolate. And I'm an isolator, believe it or not. No one believes that anymore. But I was very much of an isolator. So the message is, we do want strong face-to-face meetings, but we also want the new technology to be used also. So please, if you have any ideas, let us know and spread the word. If you think someone, if you don't have a good idea, but you think someone else does, let us know. We are here to spread the word and to strengthen our program for everybody. That's what we want to do. And the phone bridge, if there are many people out there who have started face-to-face meetings, find out what it takes. And you don't have to do it by yourself. You might be able to find someone to do it with you, like Sean did. You don't have to do it by ourselves anymore. That's the good thing. When I lead a meeting on the phone bridge, I make plenty of mistakes because it's in my, you know, I do it by memory. I just laugh at myself. I know I don't have to be perfect anymore. So we don't have to be perfect. A lot of people will not be in service in a higher level, even at the meeting level, because they're afraid of making mistakes. So if you have an idea, please don't be afraid to speak up and let us know. Please don't be afraid to be of service. Please don't be afraid to lead a meeting. If I can lead a meeting, believe me, anyone can. We need more leaders and we need more intergroup reps, whether it's at a face-to-face meeting or a phone bridge or a Skype meeting for that matter. Thank you, everybody. I am looking forward to hearing from anybody who has any ideas, and Marion as well. And I just want to thank Marion. She's really stuck with this when others had to give up the commitment. And I just want to thank you so much, Marion. Thank you, everybody, for being here and all those that spoke. I really got a lot out of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. Thank you, everybody, for being here. How about if we have a moment of silence for those who are suffering? And let us close with the Serenity Prayer. Would you like to stand and hold hands? And I'm going to be brave and unmute the line.
God, grant us serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Keep coming back. It works if you work it.
So we'll bring a lot of love.
Worth it.
Yay!
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We're going to sign off now. Have a blessed, abstinent day.